This is Fantasy Football Friday with Ty Richardson.
Welcome into another edition of Fantasy Football Friday. I'm your host, Ty Richardson. It's been a good day. Just a solid day. Really a solid week. Going to be ready for the weekend. And now, pleased to welcome Dennis Bennett of the Fantasy Football Roundtable podcast, also DynastyNerds.com managing editor. Dennis, thanks for taking some time out of your day to do this with me, man. I really appreciate it.
Well, I appreciate you having me on. I'm pretty excited about that, about coming on. I love to talk fantasy football, and while I play fantasy football in a relatively mediocre fashion, I seem to give decent advice to people if I only listen to myself, I guess.
Fantasy football is really the front of betting games. Dennis, why do you think fantasy football has overtaken the likes of fantasy baseball, basketball, and some of the other fantasy sports that go on in the United States?
You know, the thing I feel like happened is baseball, like I was a diehard baseball fan growing up. My grandfather played semi-pro ball. He played against Satchel Paige when Satchel Paige was barnstorming.
No way.
And it way. You know, grandpas never lie. He had a home run off him to beat him 1-0. So I grew up I grew up in Michigan. I'm a Detroit Lions, Detroit Tigers fan. I adopted the Browns when I moved to Ohio, so I know losing. But I think with football, it is so much more of a family tradition. Baseball used to be that way, and like baseball lost me at the last strike in the late 90s. I never made it back after that. I was always this kid who loved baseball, used to go out and play. I'd be out in the yard throwing the ball up and catching it until I missed it and it hit me in the face. And after this last strike, I just never made it back. It could have been I was older, life got busy, and I just found other recreational pursuits. Football hasn't had that same strike every, you know, 20 years or something. Now, I'm a little older, so it may be I've experienced it more. But football, it starts with college, and I think it goes through the NFL now as players have gotten more transitory. You know, they don't stay with the same team like they used to. So you'll start rooting for your hometown players, and when they make it to the NFL, maybe they change teams and you still follow them. And fantasy football is a way to sort of keep in touch with that fandom. Like, I'm a huge Ohio State fan, so
yeah,
like,
we're gonna have to talk about that.
I love Zeke Elliott. I love to watch. The way he plays the game, he's just a great all-around running back. And you know, it doesn't matter if it's blitz pickup or if it's catching a pass or if it's, you know, they need a half a yard and 11 guys are lined up there. You know, he's going to get you those 19 inches to get that first down. And with football, you sort of, it's a faster pace. Baseball has a slower pace. And hockey doesn't translate as well to TV. Hockey, you know, we got the Blue Jackets here in Columbus, and hockey is a fantastic live sport, but it doesn't always translate great to TV. And some of these other sports, baseball or basketball and hockey, both sort of, there's a difference between playoff sport and regular season sport. And so I think some of that ends up, they lose interest during the regular season because it's so long. Mm-hmm. There's so many games. And then the intensity during the playoffs. So people are kind of like, well, I'll just show up during the playoffs and be a super fan then. With baseball, football, there's 16 games plus the playoffs. And so you end up, it's once a week. It's not three or four times a week. It's easier to plan around. Plan your fandom, really.
You mentioned you being an Ohio State fan. I think of, for a lot of SEC fans of their football teams, there's not a lot of pro NFL teams down here. So that being said, there's a crevice that can be found for fans who still want to root on former players of their favorite team, but not necessarily be the biggest fans of the pro team that they want. Because in the South, college football dominates. That's the yeah. factor. That's the big thing. And so what you just described to me is, I don't know if you're a huge Browns fan, a Cincinnati fan, or another NFL team in the area, but you seem like more of an Ohio State guy. What you described to me, and maybe I'm wrong, maybe I'm right, is a guy that's a bigger college fan but likes certain players that have graduated from the Buckeyes and gone on to the pros, and you cheer for all of them. Fantasy football, that's a way to do that.
Yeah, exactly. Now, I am a Browns fan. When I moved, I was a teenager when I moved to Ohio.
Okay.
And I grew up on the Lions. I'm still a Lions fan. So I justify it by saying, well, one is in the NFC and one is in the AFC, so it's legal. I can be a fan of both teams. The Browns have this long history. You know, they haven't won a championship in a long time. They lost their team for 5 years and got a new team back and have pretty much sucked the entire time. My fantasy teams, a lot of them are named the Columbus Panhandles, and the Columbus Panhandles were one of the early NFL teams back in the 20s. They were formed in 1900 or 1901 and lasted until 1926. But when the NFL formed, or the pre-league to the NFL in 1920, the Columbus Panhandles were one of those original teams back then. And so there's a strong pro football presence in Columbus. Part of it is because Ohio State is good and they feed a lot of players into the NFL. And Columbus is, we've got basically north, south, east, and west. We've got Columbus or Cleveland to the north, Indianapolis to the west, Cincinnati to the south, and Pittsburgh to the east. We don't get a ton of Colts fans in Columbus, but there's quite a mixture of Browns, Steelers, and Bengals fans. And it's really quite a rivalry because all three teams are also in the same division.
Yeah, that's so go ahead.
Since it is so heavily in Columbus, Ohio State, that those players that move up to the NFL when they are playing for quote unquote one of those hometown teams, because we don't have a NFL team in Columbus, we've all adopted one of those other cities' teams as our hometown team. And when the Buckeyes go play there, it's really it gives it that extra juice. And so when Cleveland plays Pittsburgh or Cincinnati plays Cleveland, those rivalries can be pretty strong amongst friends.
So, Dennis, you mentioned you're an Ohio State fan, and I know that the Ohio State Buckeyes, for many Razorback fans, 2011 Sugar Bowl, that is a memory that fans wish they could forget. Were you at that game? Did you watch that game? And do you remember anything about that game?
I was not at that game. I did watch that game. I watched just about every Ohio State game, unless there's, for some reason, I can't get it on TV. I've reached an age where I don't necessarily go to the games or have the desire, really. You know, I got to climb up, 900 steps to get to my seat. I'm 54 years old now. There's a line at the bathroom. Hot dogs are $8 and a Coke is $5. Well, I there's no line at my bathroom at home, and the food selection is much better. But way more comfortable than those bleachers. There is something to be said for game day atmosphere, but I'll leave that to the young guys, and I'll take my kids when they want to go see a game, we'll go see a game. I usually go to about one a year, but that's pretty much it. I'm not a big tailgater. But the Arkansas game, I don't really remember it. No offense intended.
None taken.
I just know, being an Ohio State fan, it's easy to sort of live in the now because we've been pretty good for a while.
So Hilliard's what, about 15 minutes, a suburb outside of Columbus? Is that about right?
That is correct.
Okay.
Yep.
I've never been to Columbus. I actually was almost offered a job out of college in Columbus. Give me the vibe around that city. I know it's huge Buckeye town, but you mentioned some of the professional football teams that are close. Is it 100% Buckeyes, or are there a lot of NFL fans still in that town itself and surrounding areas?
There's a lot of NFL fans, and we get a lot of players that when they retire from the NFL, they come back here. You know, Craig Krenzo, who spent a couple years in the league, is here. James Laurinaitis is here. Until he took the Titans job, Mike Vrabel was here. So a lot of the players do come back to the area. Chris Spielman lives here in Columbus. And John Cooper and Earl Bruce, former coaches, still live here in Columbus. Tressel moved because he became president at Youngstown State, or he may still live here. It's a growing city with lots of business. We're about 1.5 million people in the metropolitan area. And we have, you know, we have our Rooster sports bars and our BW3 sports bars people like to go to. There's people have their favorite dive bars to go watch the games. And the NFL presence is strong. You know, there's a lot of it's AFC North predominantly, you know, Browns. I'd say it's Browns, Steelers, and Bengals in that order. You get just because we get a lot of people coming to Columbus to go to school that end up staying. So we have a lot of other fans of other teams around town as well.
Yeah.
But it's predominantly those three.
So, Dennis, I thought Dan Wolkin had an interesting tweet. We haven't talked too much fantasy on the podcast, but I think this is interesting, that Justin Fields is playing spectacularly for the Buckeyes right now. He has looked incredible, and I thought they were going to hit some turbulence on the road in Lincoln, but they swatted Nebraska. And here's a guy that couldn't beat out Jake Fromm at Georgia for whatever reason. He had spot plays where he got to get in the game, but he never overtook Fromm. And to Fromm's credit, he's a pretty stinking good quarterback. But I wonder, is from a college projection standpoint, do you think Justin Fields is ultimately going to get Ohio State farther than Jake Fromm will ever get Georgia?
I don't want to sound like I'm just saying yes because I'm an Ohio State fan, but the style of play between the two quarterbacks is quite different.
Drastically, yes.
You know, Fromm he's that steady guy, not going to make mistakes, but he also isn't going to make a spectacular play. He's not going to take a broken play and run it 75 yards for a touchdown like Justin Fields could. I think they're two different types of quarterbacks, and because of the way Ryan Day has designed our offense and with J.K. Dobbins and our wide receivers, and our we have four new starting offensive linemen this year, and our line has really come together well.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it doesn't hurt that you have a quarterback that when he feels pressure, he can get away from it, so that tends to make your line look better and maybe have a little more confidence than they might have had otherwise with an immobile quarterback. But that team looks really dynamic now, and the defense. Now, I wasn't sold on our linebackers. I've never been big on Pete Warner and Tuff Borland. But Warner has really stepped up this year, and Chase Young is, you know, our defensive line. We've had some really good defensive lines in the recent past, and this may be one of the better ones. And Chase Young, I know we've had the Bosa brothers in the past 5 years, but Chase Young may end up being better than both of them.
Chase Young is a stud. I mean, you think about some of, I mean, you've had Hubbard, you'd have the Bosa brothers, you've had some just stalwarts at the defensive line, but watching Chase Young, he is absolutely incredible. I'm sure Arkansas would love to have a defensive lineman of his caliber on that line right now. All right, let's transition to the NFL, Dennis. We're speaking with Dennis Bennett of the Fantasy Football Roundtable podcast, also the managing editor of DynastyNerds.com. So I was a little worried, man. I have Stephon Diggs on my team, and there was rumors of a little skirmish and stuff going on that he might get traded or something. Luckily, that didn't happen, and it's not going to happen. So I know he's frustrated. I know Kirk Cousins hasn't played well this season. The same could be said for Adam Thielen over there. For those two guys who are generally pretty productive at the wide receiver position, do you think Minnesota turns it around with them, or are they going to continue to struggle when it comes to the passing game?
Well, I think Mike Zimmer needs to realize that conceptually – a strong commitment to the run might seem like a great idea, especially when you have a guy like Dalvin Cook, who's a dynamic running back. But it's a passing game, and when you have weapons like Thielen and Diggs, if you don't use them, they can't be anything but disgruntled, I think. I know that wins will cover up a lot of that, and if the team is winning, you know, they're going to sort of keep it in-house. But when the team struggles, when he's only throwing 10 passes like in the first game or 12 passes, when the team struggles like that, then those frustrations will start to boil up. I believe they're going to be fine. I think they're going to sort of take a step back and say, all right, we got to find a little bit of balance here. What's our offensive line doing well? Let's sort through this. Yes, we can run the ball, but we do need to pass. Or if you only run the ball and you can't pass it, eventually you won't be able to run it either because the defense is going to sell out on the run. I think they're going to turn around. I think they're going to be fine. We saw glimpses last week with Diggs going, 7 for 108 yards. He didn't get in the end zone. It was a little worrisome still that Thielen only caught 2 passes for 6 yards.
Yeah.
But right now they don't have, you know, they've gotten rid of Olabisi Johnson is their third wide receiver. They've got Irv Smith and Kyle Rudolph. They're going to be fine. Are they going to be top 8 wide receivers maybe like they were last year? No, but I can still see one of them finishing in the 10 to 12 range and the other one finishing in the 15 to 20 range. They're going to sort it out. Mike Zimmer didn't forget how to be a coach and how to let his offensive coordinator run the offense. But I think they had to either they're in the midst of eating a little bit of humble pie right now. And they're going to have to, you know, find that balance between the passing game and the running game. You know, I tried to acquire Diggs. I was a week late trying to acquire him on the cheap. I think I've still got an offer sitting out there, but I don't think the guy's going to accept it.
Let's talk about one of your favorite teams, which is the Cleveland Browns. And I was one of the guys that bought into the hype. So, Dennis, I do a radio show daily with a diehard Pittsburgh Steelers fan. He's from the Pittsburgh area, so he was not too enthused with some of the Browns talk I brought in before the NFL season began. So I want to ask about them. They have a monumental game on the road in San Francisco this Monday night. Odell Beckham Jr., Jarvis Landry, Nick Chubb, Baker Mayfield, a lot of young pieces on that football team. You think they get it going where they can win their division? And I have Odell. He's had some ups. He's had some downs in fantasy. Is he going to be a guy that I can trust the rest of the way when it comes to my upcoming fantasy season?
I think until he has multiple weeks like last week, you've got to trust him. You've got to expect that, you know, Baker's a gunslinger. But the other side of that is, he's not I'm going to make sure one guy gets 15 targets.
Yeah.
He's going to throw it to the open guy. So if Odell is, you know, the second read and the first guy is wide open, Baker's probably going to that first guy. So they'll have to switch it around. It may be a little more convenient for Odell this week if Jarvis doesn't clear the concussion protocol. Last I saw earlier today, he was still in the concussion protocol. You know, they've got Antonio Callaway coming back from suspension, and he was allowed to be around the team during his suspension. So he should hit the ground running. Higgins is still dinged up, so that's going to leave it to Damian Ratley, who I couldn't believe when Beckham threw that bomb to Ratley and it hit him right in the hand.
Oh, my gosh, dude. Dennis, I was so frustrated because that would have been 4 points just like that. And unfortunately, we get to a point in the season where we either love our team, like our team, or hate our team. When is the point that you decide, man, I got to start making some trades if I want to get to the playoffs and hopefully get a championship?
Well, I think that's now. If I've got a team that's 0-4 and I or even 1-3, I've got to take stock in what does that team really look like, and then let me take a look at the teams at the top of the division. If those other teams, if the other teams have, towards the top have scored 1,000 points and I've scored 700 points, I'm not going to luck my way into a bunch of wins. I'm a seller now. Now I play in mostly dynasty leagues, so I'm selling and I'm acquiring picks for next year. I'm going out and getting guys like J.J. Arcega-Whiteside who aren't getting playing time this year because they're behind somebody else. I'm taking a look at those guys and starting to pick them up. Like last year, during the midseason, I had a couple teams that weren't doing very well, and I went out and started getting guys like James Washington and Michael Gallup, Rashad Penny, guys that I feel like have the potential to be something. And so if I could send Lamar Miller for Rashad Penny to somebody that was competing last year, yeah, Miller's not a sexy player, but he's very consistent. He was going to get you the RB3 numbers. He's definitely flex-worthy. And so I start looking now at my 4-0 teams. I'm looking and making offers. I've got a super flex team that's 3-1, and I've got Matt Stafford on a bye this week. And I spent the last 5 days trying to trade Stafford for Deshaun Watson to a 0-4 team. Now, I couldn't pull it off. The guy in the end, he's like, you know, Watson's 24 years old. I know I'm rebuilding. I offered Stafford and Hockenson and my first-round pick for Deshaun Watson, Kelvin Harmon, and his second-round pick. And he was like, you know, that's a great deal. It's a very fair deal. You know, I've got the edge, I feel, on my side. Eventually, he was just like, I just can't bring myself to trade Deshaun Watson. Like, man, I was trying to manage my bye weeks. I've got quarterback. It was just one of those situations where I'm trying to make my team better. I got another offer out to another guy in the league that's 1-3 to move Stafford and a third round pick for Jameis Winston and a fourth round pick. We'll see. You know, I don't think there's a lot of distance between Stafford and Winston this year.
Mm-hmm.
But I also don't think I think Stafford or Winston, when he when he fades, he's going to fade early. Like Stafford's 31 years old.
Yeah.
I think Winston is going to be struggling to keep a starting job when he gets to be 31. Stafford, I think he's got another 3 or 4 years of undisputed, I'm the starting quarterback ahead of him. I don't think Winston, unless something changes with him, I don't think he's going to have that same type of security. And mostly it's because of the turnovers and the decision-making with Winston. They can get kind of erratic sometimes. But I think now, if you're 0-4 now, you should be looking at what are the assets that I have that I can trade off and get young players and draft picks for next year. And if I'm playing in redraft, and I'm 4-0 or 3-1, or maybe I'm 2-2, but I'm the highest point scorer in the league. I've just caught a couple bad breaks. You know, I'm looking, how can I flip one of my good guys and one of my not as good guys for maybe one great guy? So if I can trade, maybe Chris Carson and Robert Woods and get who'd be a great wide receiver. If I can trade Carson and Woods and get Michael Thomas back, and if I've got the running back depth to do that, you know, those types of moves, I think, are the things that you should be looking at, to, because it's all about winning. Even in Dynasty, you know, there's a lot of talk about, well, you want to be building, you want to make sure you're getting, but you know what, you also want to win this year. Somebody's got to win this year. It might as well be me.
I want to ask you about the Dynasty Leagues. I've never participated in one. I've done the regular, I've done the auction, but I've never gotten to the Dynasty League. Our commissioner asked us if we had any interest. The majority of us told them no, because we don't know enough about it yet. What's the appeal for a Dynasty League, and is that your favorite type of league? We'll end on that.
It is my favorite type of league, and the appeal of a Dynasty League is, have you ever been sitting around in February and thinking, man, I miss football?
Oh, yeah, dude.
You know,
all the
when
time.
You play in a dynasty league and you're sitting around in February and you think, I miss football, you go and you pull up your roster and you pull up league mates' rosters and you start making trades. And it's a lot of dynasty leagues, like 2 years in a row, I was in a 20-team dynasty league, and 2 years in a row I made trades during the playoffs. 1 year I acquired Greg Olsen, and the following year I acquired Melvin Gordon. I won 1 year. I got knocked out in the championship the other year. And I because I like college football almost as much as I do NFL, so once the season is over, we're starting to look at the incoming players for the following year. We're evaluating rookies. You know, our chats are always active throughout the off season, and we're talking about, well, when are we going to schedule our rookie draft? What's a good time for that? And I had a rookie draft this year start on the Saturday of the NFL draft. The NFL draft wasn't even over.
Jeez.
And but I also I'm in 21 leagues right now, and 16 of them are dynasty leagues, or 14 of them are dynasty leagues. And so that's rookie drafts that I'm trying to schedule and space out to make sure, you know, when can we get this 5-round draft? And we do slow drafts, so it's not like everybody has to get together and you're hammering it out in an hour. You know, you're running with an 8-hour clock. I've got guys in my leagues from New Mexico and Australia and Canada, Florida. So we're all over the country in the world and playing in these leagues. We had a guy drafting last year from Fiji.
Jeez, man.
And it just, you're doing that. You get involved at free agency. And when you're in a dynasty league, free agency matters to you in fantasy football. I can't tell you how many times last year when free agency was starting that I saw people trading for Jay Ajayi and trying to pick up Jay Ajayi because they felt like he was going to get healthy and somebody was going to give him a shot. It hasn't come to fruition, but we'll see.
That is, you
know, those things are exciting. That's what I love about the dynasty.
Said, I don't know if we'll ever get to that point in our league, but at least has me intrigued. He is Dennis Bennett, co-host of the Fantasy Football Roundtable podcast, as well as managing editor of DynastyNerds.com. You can follow him on Twitter at @culture_coach. Dennis, thanks for taking some time in. We really appreciate it.
I appreciate you having me on. Have a great night. Go Bucks.
For show. For show. I'm getting that for show.
New fantasy football interviews every Friday on HitThatLine.com.